From the KERA newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Ahead, how a local researcher solved the mystery of an ancient skeleton's origins. We begin, though, in Hood County. The county clerk decided, after all, to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples, but there are some related issues to settle. KERA's Stella Chavez reports county commissioners this morning will consider LGBT-themed library books for kids.
More than 50 people in Hood County have complained. They want to remove or move at least two books from the shelves of the public library. Last month, the Library Advisory Board voted to keep the books with one minor change. County Attorney Lori Casper says the library director moved the book this day in June from the kids section to the parenting shelves.
Because it had a large discussion section at the back with a lot of questions about how to talk to your kids about LGBT issues and things like that.
Since then, Casper says other residents have asked that other LGBT children's books be banned or moved.
From what I understand, it's been sort of a deluge on the commissioner's voicemails and emails of people that are both opposed to and in favor of the commissioner's court taking some action on the books.
Both the commissioners and library director asked Casper for her legal opinion. She said the decision had been made, and there's no appeals process. Still, the commissioners decided to give residents a chance to speak out at today's meeting. Casper says the law doesn't leave much wiggle room.
If they choose to do something involving moving those books, restricting the access to those books, or removing those books from the library, they are going to have to show a compelling government interest in doing so. And basically that standard means it's going to have to be something obscene, is what the case law says.
Last week, the American Library Association sent a letter to the county urging that the books stay on the library shelves. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
NASA scientists were overjoyed when the New Horizons probe swept by Pluto about an hour and a half ago. This first mission took about 3 billion miles and 9.5 years to reach the dwarf planet. Alan Stern of the Southwest Research Institute in San Antonio is principal investigator for the mission.
We've never been to this new class of small planets that are out there in the Kuiper Belt, so it's not just going to Pluto, but to a whole new type of object in the solar system. And we want to learn how it was formed and how it's evolved over time.
Not much is known about Pluto. Even with the powerful Hubble telescope, the planet still appears to be a blurry blob. Later this week on Think, Lauren Silverman talks to a researcher who's helped redefine our understanding of Pluto. That's Thursday at noon on KERA 90.1. Now to another scientific discovery, this one on Earth. 2 decades ago, an ancient skeleton was found in Kennewick, Washington. Scientists now have a better idea about its origins. Justin Martin spoke with an SMU anthropologist who co-authored a study on the Kennewick Man.
David Meltzer, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
How old is the Kennewick Man, and what are his origins?
Kennewick Man is about 8,500 years old, and that's based on radiocarbon dating of the actual skeleton. And his origins have been quite controversial. The question was he related to modern-day Native Americans, or does he represent an earlier population that came into the New World, which was in turn subsequently replaced by modern Native Americans? What the DNA evidence shows is he was one of them. He was a Native American.
Why did it take so long to identify him?
In the late 90s, DNA efforts were made to recover something. But in those days, the techniques and the technology was so very, very primitive. You needed a decade or more of ancient DNA work to bring it up to speed to make it possible to reconstruct Kennewick's DNA.
This research turned into a lawsuit between the federal government, 5 Native American tribes, and a group of scholars. How did that turn out?
A lot of your tax dollars were at work there. The Army Corps of Engineers, at the request of the Native American tribes, sought to reinter Kennewick into the ground immediately. The tribes had made the argument that Kennewick was one of their ancestors and that, therefore, his remains fell under what's referred to as NAGPRA, the Native Americans Graves Protection and Repatriation Act. A number of individuals sued in turn, claiming that, well, he's not a Native American, so therefore NAGPRA does not apply. The lawsuit started in the fall of 1996. It was finally resolved in 2004, And an appeals court said, he's not a Native American, therefore, go ahead and do a study. Here's the ironic part. As a part of that study, a bit of the bone was provided to my colleague Eske Willerslev, who analyzed the DNA, which demonstrates that, in fact, he is a Native American. The lawsuit to basically show that he wasn't turned out to show that, in the end, he was.
So what happens to the Kennewick man now?
It's now back to the Army Corps of Engineers, which is the federal agency that has jurisdiction over the skeletal remains. It will possibly go back to court. Several weeks ago when we were in Seattle announcing the results of this research, there were representatives of the five claimant tribes. Representatives of each of the five tribes spoke about what this means to them. Jim Boyd, the chairman of the Confederated Tribes of the Colville, said, "We've known all along that he is one of us." And what each of them said was, we've learned who he is. It's time for Kennewick to be reburied.
David Meltzer is a professor of prehistory at SMU, and he co-authored the study into the Kennewick Man for the journal Nature. Thanks for joining me.
It's been my pleasure.
Sunny skies ahead of us today, high around 98 again, overnight low 78, and then tomorrow, guess what? Sunny with a high of 98 again. It's 82 degrees now in Dallas, 80 in Fort Worth. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at KERA News. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker.